Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
And you look Paul. You look broke ass.
How many people watched that show on Netflix about Anna Delvey, a.k.a. Anna Sorokin, like this mastermind fraud that they made a fictional show starring the actress who plays Ruth in Ozark? The accent that she has in that show is something else. And there was a television show about Anna Delvey on Netflix. If you want to watch something that's bad but also good at the same time, it's a good watch. I think this is what Anna Delvey would say to Jim Crane right now. Because per the Houston Chronicle, the Astros have lost a fairly significant amount of money recently. They're losing big money with the new TV deal. They left AT&T Sportsnet Southwest in November, and since they're no longer working with Warner Brothers / Discovery, they're losing their guaranteed annual media rights payment. For this year, it was supposed to be $120 million total, $73 million for the Astros, $47 million for the Rockets. And with the Space City Home Network, the Astros are likely only going to get about $50 million a year as this channel, at the very least, starts. So, if you're looking for Jim Crane to maybe go over the collective balance tax threshold and spend more, and at this point, I mean, seems like most of the free agent targets that the Astros would be maybe interested in, we're not talking about Yamamoto or Ohtani, it seems like they're no longer available. It does feel like this is just going to be what the Astros are for this offseason. Does it change in the near future? I honestly do not know. But consistent with the Astros potentially losing some money is another update as we continue our countdown to the start of the Astros regular season. Check that. The Astros spring training beginning when pitchers and catchers report to West Palm Beach.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
We're getting closer and closer. 55 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. It's a similar report to what we got from Ken Rosenthal last week. I guess the Astros are still at the very least picking up the phone when teams call about Framber Valdez. They're not planning to trade him, reports Bob Nightingale of the USA Today, but they are listening with more than five teams already checking in on him. I think for Ken Rosenthal, it was two teams. We discussed this on Friday, and by we, I discussed it with a drunk person at Cobos. Fun time at Cobos for their two-year anniversary in the downtown location. But this one guy just kept on yelling at me, and I don't know what he was saying. And I was like, dude, you don't have a headset. It turns out he was just like absolutely blackout drunk, and he ended up leaving basically 20 minutes after the show ended. So I realized I was just in a shouting match with a drunk man in public. Fun times. But I do think the Astros should at the very least entertain the idea of trading Framber, because I'm not sure that he's going to be able to be the guy that he was in 2022. I'm not sure. He might be, but I don't know. Even with the no-hitter that he had last year, there are lots of moments that just make you wonder, Sean Mapes, about his, I guess, mettle, his mental toughness, his ability to deal when things are not going his way. And yeah. Now there's not going to be a Martin Maldonado, which I think would classify as a thing that is going out of his way to go his way.
Yeah, I think that that's spot on. It's like just the mentality of the Framber Valdez is just so volatile that you just never know, like, you never know what you're going to get with him, like, inning to inning. Not even game to game. Like, there's just some innings where he just completely disintegrates, and then there's some innings and some games where he throws a no-hitter. And so it's all about, like, do the Astros, like, believe in this? Like, do they? Because they have more information about, like, behind the scenes, like, what's going on with this guy, like, in the clubhouse before starts. We only see, you know, the first inning on till he finishes. You know, we don't really get to see what's going on with them past that. And this is kind of like a cousin of the Jalen Green trade discussion, where it's like, do you want to trade him right now? And he has a lot of value, or, you know, a good amount of value, or do you want to risk another year and just see, without Martin Maldonado, maybe this guy can't pitch, and then what?
The sad thing is that it's legitimately a possibility, and I know a lot of people are happy that Maldonado is no longer going to be in the lineup on a daily basis. I think it's fair to be happy about that, but I think it's also fair to wonder how the supposed ace of the Astros pitching staff is going to fare without him. And he was supposed to be the ace going into this year. And by his standards, this year was disappointing, even though he was, what, ninth in the American League Cy Young award voting.
Yeah.
They bring in Verlander. Was Verlander significantly better than Framber Valdez in his return to Houston? Not really. And Christian Javier, of course, was a massive disappointment as well.
I will say Verlander didn't have, like, the, oh my God, we just lost the game in the second inning starts.
That's true.
He wasn't Verlander. From even like
he was even better in the postseason than he had been in years past. Like, he was pretty damn good in the postseason.
He just doesn't have like he can go like 7-8 innings like without a sweat, and his last pitch is like 101 miles per hour. It's like he doesn't do that anymore, which is like understandable because he's 41 or whatever. So I do think that Verlander is like someone who I'd feel more comfortable with being your ace as opposed to Framber, just because of the variance with Framber. Like, the downside is so far down that like this report about them trading, possibly whatever, fielding offers, not trading, possibly fielding offers.
Because they're not interested in it. They'd have to get a Godfather offer, I think, to actually trade him. Because again, they should run it back, as has been brought up on the Twitch.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do wonder if you want to keep this team good forever, and you're concerned about his volatility, and you have less money to work with, as is evidenced by this Houston Chronicle piece.
Like, and your farm system stinks. Is he the horse you want to bet on?
There are certainly reasons to do it. Yeah. Right. It's not if you are all in on this year, you're not trading Framber.
No.
But I don't think the idea of trading Framber is some just unspeakable thing.
It's like the Bregman report, the very similar Bregman report to this. I feel like that was more, I don't want to say offensive to me as an Astros fan, but that was more like, wait, what? Like, WTF, dude. Like, what are you talking about trading Alex Bregman? This one is a little less so because, I mean, we saw in 2022 how deep this starting rotation can be when it's all healthy. And obviously, you know, McCullers being healthy, we're not even.
Let's just say that's never going to happen.
We should just don't plan on it.
But if
don't
Luis Garcia and Urquidy were good to go all year
long, if he comes back,
you're still feeling pretty good.
Hunter Brown maybe develops. Like, you can look and see like a good starting rotation, even without Framber. So, do we say Christian Javier bounce back? Like, Christian Javier could bounce back.
He has the stuff to bounce back, but again,
the thing is with Javier and with Valdez. Javier, it seemed like it was arm fatigue. It was from his first year being a starter and playing in the World Baseball Classic. So that, to me, I feel better about him bouncing back, because that all seems very physical and seems like it's a, well, have an off season, get your body right, and come back and dial it in a little bit more. Your second year being a starter. Framber Valdez, it's just like, oh, no, his, like, whatever, fifth year, no, I think like fourth year being a starter. It's like, oh, no, he just mentally, just some games, just doesn't have it.
And it's weird because last year.
And that makes me more uncomfortable betting on.
He was so consistent in 22.
Yeah, like, exactly.
The model, like, record-setting consistency. And then last year, not the case.
Yeah.
Is it the pitch clock? I don't know. But
I
don't.
A pitch clock when he threw a no hitter last year. Like
that's
that,
true.
They had it that game.
It's bizarre. I mean, the question is, as we get closer and closer to a time where he's probably going to need an extension, are you even entertaining the idea of an extension? I think right now, no. You're wondering what you can do theoretically before you would have to give him a long term deal,
especially if you use like the Tyler Glasnow and extension as like a baseline, like how we do with the NFL quarterbacks, like this kind of the deal you build off of. Tyler Glasnow has not been as successful as Framber Valdez has been in his MLB career.
Correct.
And
but Glasnow, I mean, I hate to say he's been glass, but I
made
mean,
of glass now.
Kind of is.
But with Framber, it's and he got and Tyler Glasnow, like you said, less successful, more injury prone, has got what, $30 million a year? Maybe over $30 million dollars a year? So, Framber, you're looking at like $30, $35 million a year? We know this team is not going to pay him that. They're not going to pay Cal Tucker that. They're not going to – how many guys they let walk? I don't think Framber Valdez is the one that's going to get a deal. So, if you can trade him, again, not this year, but at some point, if that's the move they make, I would be behind it.
I would not be opposed to it, but
– wow. That's some real...
I'm not behind it. I'm not behind it. I would not be opposed to it, though.
Okay.
Look, well, look, I mean, you need him next year. You do.
No, I'm saying not. I'm saying this is like 24 offseason.
I get what you're saying on that front. Like, it's certainly possible or plausible after this coming season. But at the very least, they are hearing offers out. Some comments. HRW713 says the Astros need a sugar daddy. King of All Georgia says, do we need a GoFundMe for Kyle Tucker? Maybe. Maybe.
Can we get like a Saudi investment?
Honestly, I mean,
to spray
through the Astros, like nothing's too low. Screw it. All these people are just jealous haters. Some Saudi money. Who cares where it came from?
It's also,
all money's dirty.
Well, it's also, like we don't want the Saudi oil money, but we'll take all other sorts of oil money?
The Lockheed Martin money's fine, but the oil
Oxy?
Money, no. Yeah, Oxy. Oh, Big Pharma money. Oh, well, that's bad. Yeah, but the Saudi money,
They used to play games. The old name for Minute Maid Park was Enron Field.
Hell yeah. Oh, back when men were men.
I'm just saying, Jim Crane, if your wallet's really hurting, there's some guys that can help alleviate that.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure some of those Enron guys got some money still embezzled.
I meant the
somewhere.
Saudi guys.
Oh, okay. Fine. My bad. Not in Houston. You can't take Enron money. You can take Saudi money. Really quickly, before we wrap up our Astros countdown, I just wanted to read this quote by Dana Brown because it makes me laugh. He's very excited about Astros prospect Jacob Melton during a appearance on the Astro Line podcast. He had this to say about Melton. He was asked for in almost every trade talk. All teams are asking for him. That's the one guy I was afraid to give away because you're going to look up one day on TV and he's going to be playing, hitting balls over the fence, stealing bases, making great catches. He's got a chance to be a stud. I could just see this guy hitting balls to the moon, stealing bases, and making great catches. And here's the kicker. I'd wake up in cold sweats about the guy. Dana Brown, the politician, that is quite the sell job on Jacob Melton, who he may be trying to trade right now. Right. I've got cold sweats about this guy I'd rather trade than Framber Valdez to make the Astros window a little bit bigger.
Either he's the guy that's going to get traded, or he's priming us for him to replace Kyle Tucker.
There's definitely that as a possibility too. Oh boy, well, you're just setting him up for failure. Why does he do this? He overpromises. God, Dana. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, Dana Brown, when he speaks, sometimes it just makes me feel like I need to settle down. I need to relax. I don't want to wake up in cold sweats. I'd like a cold glass of Pendleton. Pendleton whiskey. True Western tradition. Ever hear about the Pendleton Roundup? It's one of the oldest rodeos in North America. We're talking 100 years old. Well, you know, the Pendleton Roundup gave birth to something really special. Pendleton whiskey, which captures the spirit of the American West and honors its legacy in every single bottle. It's made with the finest northern grains. It's cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. It's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. Might be a little cowboy in Dana Brown right now, right? I mean, he's thinking about trading for Amber. He's advertising Jake Melton. He's a cowboy. You're a cowboy. I'm a cowboy. When I drink Pendleton whiskey, it's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude,
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
All right, guys. Houston Texans, Cleveland Browns on Sunday. The Texans would have the same record as the Cleveland Browns if Darnell Mooney of the Chicago Bears could have caught a Hail Mary at the very end of Sunday's game. The ball bounced out of Mooney's hands and was intercepted by a Browns player. Let's hear what Cleveland Browns players and coaches had to say about it. David Njoku, you watched that play from the sideline. Did anything happen to you? Did a bodily function perhaps accidentally make a surprise appearance?
Damn near shit myself, dog. But, you know, luckily our defense made an exceptional play, you know, sealed the game, and that was it.
Do people toot themselves out of surprise? You know, little mud pie? Is that a regular thing that actually happens when people are scared? Like, I think peeing yourself is more likely. I thought twosies is what happens when you croak, like you meet the afterlife. That's when you drop the kids off in your pants.
Yeah. I think it's more of like a saying. Although they're animals. It's like a flight or fight thing where like animals will get scared and run away and poop themselves as they run away.
Yeah.
I don't know if like 6'5", 260-pound tight ends do that.
When they see a Hail Mary that almost was completed.
When they see Darnell Mooney kick a football after it being in both hands, it somehow then ends up on his feet and then in the hands of a Cleveland player. Like, I don't know.
I think it only happens when you die. I don't think it happens. I don't think anyone has ever been so scared that they poop themselves.
Maybe in like a plane, like if it, like you're on a plane and it's coming down and like it's like a there's nothing I can do. Oh my God, I'm going to die. And
so
then
you may as well just make life miserable for the person squished in next to you.
Make a mess for the coroner? Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to want to clean the wreckage if that happens.
No.
Kevin Stefanski was asked about the Hail Mary as well. Possible head coach of the year. Here's what Stefanski had to say.
Were you watching it on the screen?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's this season, Jake. I mean, there's going to be times that you just got to trust your guys. And again, that locker room, I trust that locker room because they work their butts off and then they fight like crazy.
Blacking out is not cool, guys. Come on. Come on, Kevin Stefanski. There's binge drinkers out there. Maybe one of them is hosting this radio show with the Santa Claus stuck in a chimney hat on and a Christmas sweater that features two snowmen, one of which has stolen the other snowman's carrot nose and has put it in his nether regions. Let's continue to go around the NFL. There is a three-way tie atop the AFC South with the Jaguars and the Colts. The Jaguars' loss in Sunday Night Football was really funny. The Jags were in position to score four times, two times inside the 40. They missed two field goals. Two times inside the 20. They fumbled once, and then Trevor Lawrence had an all-time dumbass move, throwing the ball to a guy over the middle of the field who gets tackled. And the next thing you know, they couldn't score right before halftime. So the Ravens blew them out in Sunday Night Football. Meanwhile, the Colts beat the Steelers on Saturday in a game where Michael Pittman, Colts wide receiver, I doubt he's going to be playing in the next couple of weeks. He had a throw thrown to him by Gardner Minshew. He had to give himself up to try and make that catch. And Steelers defensive back DeMonte Kazi hit him very hard. It's a brutal hit. We would have celebrated it as a jacked up moment back in the day. Now it's a like, oh God, football. he's been suspended for the remainder of the year. Tom Brady, though, said it was Gardner Minshew's fault. He said that, look, that was a hospital ball. And, I mean, the defensive players, what? They're supposed to just sit back and let that happen? I don't know, Tom. I think maybe in that situation, yes. But if guilt makes Gardner Minshew less of a gunslinger the last couple of weeks, I'm all here for it. If Tom Brady has planted guilt into Gardner Minshew's mind, I'm good with it.
I like that. So, like, next time you'll have hesitation when he's ready to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that Tom Brady talks like he's Terry Bradshaw, where he's like, he played in the NFL, like, last year. Like,
right, but he played in the NFL also in the early 2000s.
2001, I guess.
Yo, he got absolutely smoked a lot before he was made man Tom Brady. Like, he took his lumps for about 6 or 7 years before he finally started getting that star treatment that everyone claims he had his whole career.
Yeah, yeah. But that, I mean, after 6 or 7 years, that's still 15 years of an NFL career where he got to play in the
no doubt
two-hand touch era. I'm just saying, I can't wait for him to be an analyst on Fox.
I think he'll be good, honestly, with these takes he's had.
Yes, if he doesn't soften his online, if he's not a keyboard warrior, if he gets up there and actually is like, that was a terrible throw by so-and-so, like, he just put his wide receiver in the hospital, that's on him. Like, he'll be good. But
I've been pleasantly surprised by him this year. I thought he was going to be milquetoast as an analyst.
Yeah,
he's been pretty good.
I am until he actually does it, I am going to
skeptical.
I'm going to be default into he'll soften up, or he'll be a softy in the booth.
You know who's not a softy? Mike Tomlin. Now, his job status might be in jeopardy, but man, it'll suck if Mike Tomlin's not a head coach in the NFL. And I'm sure someone will scoop him up right away because he just says the weirdest stuff, and he makes it seem like he's been saying this for years.
Every week in this league, 1 week you're drinking wine, the next week you're squashing grapes. Obviously, we squashed a lot of grapes of late. I'm interested in a little wine.
I don't know what this is supposed to mean.
I have no idea what that means.
I mean, it's not like one week you're the wine, 1 week you're the grape. Or 1 week you're squashing grapes, the other week you're the grape. No, it's like, we want to drink wine, but we've been squashing grapes recently. I don't know what this is actually supposed to mean.
Squashing grapes isn't bad unless you're like that TV reporter who squashed grapes and fell out of the grape squashing and goes, oh. We got to get that before the end of the show. Okay. That's one of the best moments in early internet history. The Eagles lost their third straight game last night, 20-17 in Monday Night Football to the Seattle Seahawks. They're 0-3 since Nick Bosa said that there is a blueprint to stop Jalen Hurts. Also, they allowed a game-winning touchdown drive to Drew Lock the same week that they elevated Matt Patricia, the guy who gave them their only Super Bowl victory ever, to defensive coordinator. They're just making good because Matt Patricia didn't play Malcolm Butler in that game, and some people would argue if Butler played in that game that the Patriots would have won. Honestly, I don't make that argument, though. I don't think Butler would have made the difference.
He also gave up like 50 points. Like,
yeah, like, they gave up a ton of points in that game. Brady played his ass off in that game, too. An all-time Jameis Winston moment for the first place New Orleans Saints. How about that? In a game where Derek Carr played and played well, Dennis Allen's like, hey, what do you guys think about his performance? A lot of outside noise that seems to be getting into the heads of the New Orleans Saints. They've had a very easy schedule this year. Jameis Winston may have motivated them to victory. He brought a briefcase to the stadium. He opened the case, and there was nothing inside. That is what is between us and greatness, said Jameis, shouting and jumping while pointing at his teammates. Nothing. He's the best. Jameis Winston not being a starter this year has been a bummer, but at the very least, he is still finding ways to make headwaves.
We need some way, somehow. I mean, I guess it could just be Mike Tomlin is the coach of the Steelers next year, and Jameis Winston's the starting quarterback. But imagine the super team of post-game quotes and pre-game quotes motivational speeches when you link up Mike Tomlin and Jameis Winston.
What do you think a player would be more likely to laugh at? A unintelligible Ray Lewis speech or anything Jameis Winston says. With Ray Lewis, you're probably so pumped up that it's not going to happen until like maybe 20 minutes later. You're going to be like, what the hell did Ray say to us?
Exactly. Because Ray can really sell it. And
then you're like, wait a second.
There's a little bit of menace.
What
there
was
too.
He talking to? That is true. With Jameis, yeah, you're probably like cracking up. As
especially
he does
he's the backup quarterback doing motivate. Imagine Davis Mills.
He just showed up with an empty briefcase.
Or just any motivational. He was like, guys, I want to have a few words for a second. You're like, what the hell, dude?
I want that to happen so badly. All right. Sean Payton and Russell Wilson got into it in the Broncos debacle of a loss to the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Sean Payton got short with it, asked about it after the game.
Listen, what I talk with Russell about is none of your business.
Thank you, Sean. He gets salty at the podium a lot. It's been fun. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a couple of New York stories to discuss. One, a person that has been the belle of the ball in sports the last couple of weeks may have not only shown his whole ass to the world, he also might be, well, enabling future stereotyping against his people. And I can't believe this person is an elected official, but he has me thinking about the Houston version of this all-time quote. Stick around, it's the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
I want the ball. Give it the ball.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
That is an absolute nightmare. I'm so glad that my cushy radio job, I just sit in a chair and never have to go out to some weird spot and stomp on grapes for a television report, only to slip and fall and probably break a bone, I'm assuming. Because she didn't lose her wind. Like, she was going, oh, oh, ow, oh, oh. Like, she could breathe there. She could make all those yelping noises. But that's one of the iconic early internet videos, and we were inspired to bring it up by Mike Tomlin talking about how, you know, we've been stomping a lot of grapes, but we'd like to have some wine. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
I guess he's saying we've been working hard and we would like to, like, have the benefit of working hard, which is win a football game. I think, you know what? I think I get what he's saying now.
I do get what he's saying after you explained it to me right there. But if he said that to me in a team meeting, I would probably raise an eyebrow and look to at least three other teammates, hoping that one of them understood what was said, and then I would ask them about it afterwards. Oh, was I supposed to be motivated by that?
I would just nod. I'd just nod, pretend like I'm yeah. Mm-hmm.
At what point do you start talking trash about the dumb things a coach says to motivate you? Like, obviously the Bills have been doing it, but it's a little different when the guy's using 9/11 hijackers to motivate the troops, if you will. I guess it's when you start losing a lot, you stop nodding and you start rolling your eyes.
I think with Tomlin, I think he's earned
some benefit of the doubt.
Like, next season, if they're losing, yeah, then because it's also the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, any other coach or any other franchise that Mike Tomlin's coaching right now, if you take everything that's going on and just put it in another franchise, he's probably getting fired. Yeah. But since it's the Steelers, it's like, probably not.
Yeah, because they just don't fire people. It's crazy. Anyway, speaking of wine, you know who likes wine? Italians. Because what? That's the old country. That's where they make it. You know, the old Shambrusco. Right? Is that a wine? I don't know. I just made that up. Look, I told you guys you better take advantage of the 15 minutes of fame you get, because eventually you're going to get canceled. This is how it works for fame in 2023. And you know that I've been pushing back against all the love that Tommy DeVito has been getting. I got to say, nothing he's done has been impressive. I can't believe he won NFC Player of the Week with less than 200 yards passing. We get it. His last name is Italian. He's Italian-American, and he's a quarterback in New York, which has a large Italian population in the city and outside the city. But we have reached an insufferable point where you got Sean Stellato wearing that cartoonish green suit after being inducted into the Italian-American Hall of Fame. He is Tommy DeVito's agent. It turns out that Sean Stellato and Tommy DeVito are shaking down small business. Wow, how Italian. Sorry, what, you're going to come after me? You're going to send some gangsters after me? That also would be Italian. Here's how they're shaking down small mom-and-pop joints. Per Darren Rovell, Tommy DeVito used to have a deal with a small business, and I'm not going to say their name on the air because I don't want any people in the mob or John Granato down here to start sending some people to knock on the doors at this place. I'm going to conceal their identity here, but they have been, honestly, extorted by Tommy DeVito and Sean Stellato. His appearance fee, Tommy DeVito, was $10,000, which is an insane amount for a backup quarterback. They raised that fee at this small mom-and-pop Italian pizza joint to $20,000. $20,000. Now, who was behind it? I'm guessing Sean Stellato, who is an absolute attention whore, as you have seen on all the interviews that he's done. And someone's got to call this guy out. Who's been consistent from the get-go pushing back on this Tommy DeVito stuff? Who has been consistent? Is it a good story? He's getting a reality TV show when this is all said and done. It's insufferable. And it's legitimately Italian people, my bad, Italian Americans turning themselves into cartoon characters for profit.
Why'd it have to be a pizzeria? Why couldn't it have been a wing place or a burger place? Why did it have to?
Hey, Sean. Why are you asking questions here? You want the man to come in here? You want Tommy DeVito in here? You want him to come in? Well, I'll go in there a little more.
They mailed him a fish head? Is that what they...
We'd hate to see your business close down after you can't make Tommy DeVito in there. We'd hate to see you lose business because you're not bringing in the starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
Do you think that Sean Stellato did this himself, or do you think he sent in Clemenza from The Godfather to and Luca Brasi? Like, is that what happened here?
100%. Just knock on the door. Just get him the piano wire. I don't know if we've gotten that far, but I'm sorry. That is just a perfect way for the Tommy DeVito, Sean Stellato saga to end, in that they started asking for $20,000 for appearances. How much business are they going to bring into an Italian pizza joint by showing up there for a day? Serious question. $20,000 worth in one day? That seems like a lot.
I could see $10,000, maybe.
I could see $5,000. Five, ten, 20, and I don't know how these businesses work. I don't, but my God.
That's like a lot of money.
How could you possibly reenact an Italian stereotype to a T more than these two did by shaking down a pizzeria joint that was giving them $10,000 for appearance fees, $20,000? This is legitimately something that sounds like extortion, and it's not. There's no strong-arming going on, but it's only natural as they reenact an Italian stereotype for me to have that be the first thing go in my head. It's not my fault. I like Goodfellas. I like The Godfather. It's not my fault. Okay?
It is funny that they've done this. Because of leaning into every other stereotype?
Yes!
They open themselves up
exactly,
to this one?
Exactly, Sean! What you said! That is it! They have literally done all of this, and now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe they're not extorting people? Honestly, I'd kind of be disappointed in them. At this point, you may as well go all in. Can you extort the Giants into trading Daniel Jones?
This ends. By the way, they've done this in, like, what, 2 weeks?
It's been 3 weeks!
Of Tommy DeVito being, like, I don't know, good? In air quotes, good. This has to end with he threw a game or something, right?
Oh,
like,
please.
That's how the stereotype wheel just ends.
He was bad this weekend.
Comes out that he threw a game.
They got their asses kicked by the Saints. Did he throw this game? Oh my God. You know what? And we're not saying that it happened, but it would be really funny if it did. A couple of comments here. HRW713. Interesting suggestion, Sean. I could you start my car when I leave the parking lot? Can you start the car? No, it's because I don't want to deal with the Tesla again.
No, I've seen the end of Casino. I know what the hell.
He was fine. He made it. He was totally fine. Another person. Don't honk at cars backing up, Pauly. Reverse parking or whatever you call it. This person was driving in reverse while I was going forward. This person needs to be removed from the roads.
Be a real shame if something happened to that Tesla. Be a real shame.
Oh, boy. Coming up in garbage time, we'll stay with New York. This is the funniest quote I've ever heard. And it's... You just got to stick around for it. First, let me tell you about my friends at Pajamagram.
Hey, it would be a shame if your significant other isn't walking around in some naturally nude pajamas, huh? It'd be a shame. They sell out every single year. Why aren't you buying? I gotta come to your home? I gotta knock on your door? Naturally nude pajamas are known for ultimate comfort and style. And I know, I'm a mobster. Soft, silky. Like a Sean Stellato suit. It's better than lingerie. With the curved, caressing fit. Oh. And when you order naturally nude pajamas today, you're going to get a free naturally nude nightie. $75 savings on a luxurious 2-in-1 complete gift. Oh! You ask me, it's an easy holiday gift that's sure to make you happy. We all know how good it feels to win, so why not win this Christmas? Go to Pajamagram today for naturally nude pajamas before they sell out. Naturally nude pajamas at pajamagram.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
You was a toilet baby. Tiff just plopped down like a little old turd, just right down in a bowl.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A text from the 409. Hey, Pauline, tell Sean not to forget his shine box on the way out. Oh!
I don't shine shoes anymore, Paul.
I gotta say, now, Nick Wright is a friend, but I remember he and Lance Erline got into dust-up once, and I think Lance ended the dust-up telling Nick Wright to go get his shine box. It was very, very funny. All-time Houston sports Twitter beef moment. By the way, there's some beefing going on. Some beefing going on. It's a big Sarge versus the world, it seems like. He was on the Killer Bees a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks
ago. Right. I was glad to see that happen. Listen, we bring everybody on here. We're fun.
Open forum.
It is.
Of ideas.
It's an open forum. That's why we're going to have Leah Van on when she comes back from her hiatus from all social media.
We are?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, if we can get her, yeah, let's do it.
Honestly, I mean, she should come on this show. If she wants to save her career in Houston, she needs to come on with me.
Is coming on the Paul Gallant Show something that would make her more likable to Astros fans?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell her all of like the cheat playbook. Codes to pander.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right? I like that.
I not pretty good at pandering?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
no.
I just own it. I am pandering.
I like that idea.
Time.
I like that idea of like the Paul Gallant Paul Gallant's guide to pandering to as an Astros fan.
You know what? Maybe we could do that tomorrow. Obviously, this is a bit of a light week, and until we figure out what the hell is going on with CJ Stroud, I mean, it's just like hanging in the air. Like, please don't get killed by Myles Garrett on Sunday. Okay. I really love when politicians speak because they're such just empty puppets for the most part. Nothing that's coming out of their mouths like has any meaning except for when they F up. So imagine you're the mayor of New York City and you're doing a one-on-one interview. And this person asks you to describe the city you live in one word. And you guys can do this with Houston at 713-780-3776 in the style of what you're about to hear from New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
Mr. Mayor, we've come to the end of what was a very eventful 2023, right? So when you look at the totality of the year, if you had to describe it, and it's tough to do, in one word, what would that word be and tell me why?
New York. This is a place where every day you wake up, you could experience everything from a plane crashing into our trade center to a person who's celebrating a new business that's open. This is a very, very complicated city, and that's why it's the greatest city on the globe.
Wait a second. Because he just keeps going and powers through it. And I'll give him credit. He was smooth as he finished that answer. And at no point did he seem to realize how he opened that. And I'm not talking about the fact that he was asked to describe New York in one word.
And then he said New York, which A, isn't describing New York. It is just the name of the city. And famously, it is two words.
It is two words. Here is New York Mayor Eric Adams again.
Mr. Mayor, we've come to the end of what was a very eventful 2023, right? So when you look at the totality of the year, if you had to describe it, and it's tough to do, in one word, what would that word be and tell me why?
It is tough to do.
New York. This is a place where every day you wake up, you could experience everything from a plane crashing into our trade center.
Pause! Jesus Christ, Eric, what are you doing? What are you doing, bro? Like, imagine talking about the range of experiences you can have in New York. Being attacked by a homeless person. A rat gnawing on your foot.
Being shook down by the Giants' third-string quarterback. Having your business.
The constant stench of garbage in the summer. Getting yelled at for no reason.
Having to watch Zach Wilson.
Terrible rent. The Knicks' existence. Those are all annoying things that you could talk about as a New Yorker. But Eric Adams chose to say the wide range of the New York experience is the biggest buildings in your city getting hit by a passenger airline or a business opening up. Jesus, dude.
I will say, those are two very different things.
I respect the chutzpah answering like that because they are, Sean, very different things.
However, he was asked, how to describe, like, New York in an eventful 2023. Like, so he...
The new question, business opening got hit by a plane. My God.
But it got hit by a plane in 2001. That wasn't even in 20... Like, what? That wasn't even 2023. Why was that on the top of his mind?
I don't know.
Did he just listen to a Sean McDermott...
motivational speech?
Pre-game speech. He was like, you're right. 9/11 can happen any day.
What would the Houston equivalent of this be like? Describe Houston in one word. Well,
Houston, Texas. First, you have to say two words.
Well, Hurricane Harvey could hit, but we have good barbecue food. Like, you're starting off with, like, the most catastrophic thing ever. How about this? Describe Houston in one word. Well, one time in Galveston, we had the biggest explosion in human history, and Also, our Mardi Gras is great. I mean, I got to give Eric Adams credit because that is a wide range. And that is true. Like, those are the things that you can experience in New York City on a given day.
There are people in New York, probably thousands, if not maybe a million people, that have experienced those two things.
That's true.
I will say that. There are people that have experienced. Again,
unbelievable.
Not in 2023 because 9/11 did not happen in 2023.
It did not.
I don't know why he brought it up.
It's so random. I
mean, it's not completely random. At least 9/11 happened in New York.
That's true.
If he was the mayor of like Philadelphia, if he was the mayor of Cleveland, and he said, well, you know, 9/11 could happen at any moment, but also businesses might open. People would be like, wait, but 9/11 didn't happen in Cleveland.
He couldn't think up a better, like, positive, too. Like, we got a business opening.
I know, right?
Like, I don't know, like, New Year's Eve?
Yeah. For
Christmas time at Rockefeller Center? Like, okay, bye.
I guess he's appealing to the small business owners.
It's just unbelievable that happened.
It's crazy. It's crazy that he led off with the bad one, mm-hmm. too. He didn't start with, like, well, anything could happen. A good thing and a bad thing. No, he goes, the worst thing to happen in the 21st century, probably. The biggest terrorist attack in U.S. soil history. Also, a business might open. At least flip them, you know? Start with the good, end with the bad.
New York, ultimate wild card. That was Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Someone's texting, well, actually, explosion was in Texas City, not Galveston. I'm sorry, you're outside the loop. Like, you're the same to me. Galveston, Conroe. What's the difference? We're both on the water. Anyway, big thanks to everybody who tuned in. Connor and Beard are up next. Is Josh Beard out of the concussion protocol? You'll find out next. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. Peace!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, with more nougat.
You and Lance didn't f*** for a year.
That's just because he dabbed all the time.